Tomorrow, at sunset, we shall celebrate the Passover. Therefore, let us remember its profound significance. It is a moment where we reflect on Jesus, our Passover, who was sacrificed and willingly gave himself for us. For our first scripture, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5:7. This is a favorite scripture during holiday. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says here in verse 7, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us." Then in verse 8, "Therefore, let us keep the feast not with an old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." With the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That scripture, brethren, tells us what our state of mind should be when we come to partake the Passover. About 5 years ago, 2019, I guess most of us are still here, some are new, we shared a verse from Apostle Paul that spoke the manner by which we should observe the feast. It is observing the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I trust we still remember that. For those who were not here at that time, the title of that message I gave was Cracks in My Pots. In that 1 Corinthians 5 verse 8, the word sincerity in Greek is helikrineia, which signifies clearness or purity. Helikrineia is derived from the Greek word helikrines, which in English means judged by sunlight or tested genuine against the light. In fact, I still brought the clay jar with me, if you can still remember that. As an illustration of how people of old tested the purity of a clay jar by looking inside the jar against the bright light to see if there are no cracks in their pots. And to test the integrity of the pot, people tried to look inside the clay jar and look inside the pot to see if there are any cracks looking against a very bright sunlight. And they were testing it against the light. The jar is said to be of no good if it has cracked because it will not hold water, for it might burst when it is filled. So also, we need to examine ourselves deeply against the light, against Jesus. For he said in John 8 verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So we look at the light symbolically, representing Jesus with all its purity. If there is some malice and wickedness in our hearts, as Paul specifically said in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 8, it is the act of self-examination against the glorious light of Jesus who paves the way so he can heal whatever cracks or flaws we have in our hearts through the forgiveness of sin. Thus, Paul gave us a very good way to keep the Passover, and it is with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. But today, brethren, I will not talk about cracks in our pots. What I will talk about is the makeup of those pots to help us see, to help our pots, ourselves, impervious to cracking. It is about looking into our deep in our psyche and see how we think and value our calling, most especially how we value God. So the title of my message today is But If Not. But If Not. One of the fascinating courses at FI Online is the Book of Daniel given by Mr. Joel Meeker. It is fascinating because he describes an event that is one of the most stirring examples in the Bible. It is an example of faith, submission of God's will, and great moral courage. It is a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Of course, we know all this. And their defiance and of the order of King Nebuchadnezzar to bow down to the golden image he built 600 years before Jesus Christ was born. Though this event took place thousands of years ago, the lessons we can learn from it make it all important to us as we are about to partake the Passover tomorrow night. But if not, those are three words that are so easy to understand, yet they give the listener something to ponder. It gives us something to think about. To partly paraphrase an event that led to the test of these friends of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar had huge golden image built as a symbol of his power and glory. He then commanded these people to bow down and worship this image. And whenever they heard the sound of his musicians, and those who disobeyed the order would be thrown to an immense blazing furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, however, worship only the one true God. And they refused to bow down to the false idol Nebuchadnezzar built. And upon learning that those three people defy the order of the king, Nebuchadnezzar became so enraged and ordered the furnace to heat up 7 times. Please turn with me to the end part of Daniel chapter 3 verse 15. Daniel 3 verse 15, because I want us to read this account word for word. The last part of Daniel 3, verse 15, Nebuchadnezzar said, "You fall down and worship the image which I have made good. If you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fire furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" I could only imagine how fearful it might have been for somebody facing the ruthless king whose record of killing and torturing people by whim is as easy as eating peanuts. At that moment, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were facing life or death situation. There is no time to negotiate. There is no time to ask for consideration, nor time to be diplomatic. It's either you do or you die now. Daniel 3 verse 16 says, "And said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." They were actually telling Nebuchadnezzar to his face, where they stood right there and then, that they said, "We do not need to answer you in this matter," which means this is not an issue whether we will obey you or not. That decision of not bowing to the idol you have made has already been decided. You know who we are. We have been behaving the way we always do. You know us. You know how we live. You saw us not eating the food that was not right for us, and we have proven to you that we were right. But Daniel 3 verse 17 says, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And you know what happened to the rest of the story? King Nebuchadnezzar threw them to the fiery furnace, and they did not burn, and they lived another day. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stated to the king that if that is the case, if we are to face death and torture as a result of our obedience of what we believe, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if we die, it would appear that God decided to have us die. Just the same, we will not bow down to the idol you have made. Wow. What lessons can we learn from Daniel 3, brethren? What lessons can we learn from this? Number one, faith in God is foremost. Everything else is secondary. Faith in God is foremost. Because of their faith, those three friends were ready to accept whatever the consequences might be. Their faith in God was exemplified by the choice they made. Faith in God should run deep in our hearts also, brethren, and should be our first priority when it comes to choosing what is important. The things that we own, our jobs, our love for our parents, our love for our wives, our husbands, our love for our brethren, our love for our children, even our own selves should only be secondary, only to God, in matters of importance. Jesus emphatically gave us his thought on this when he said that in Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That scripture, we know, is all about loving less by comparison. It tells us, brethren, that God should be foremost in consideration in everything we do and the choices we make. Please turn with me to Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. It says here in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, but without faith, it is impossible to him to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That scripture tells us that no amount of things that we can do will ever please God unless we have exercised faith in him. We can only please God if we believe he is our God foremost in everything. We can only please God if we believe that he blessed those who diligently seek him. The second lesson we can learn from Daniel 3 is submission to God's will. Submission to God's will, no matter what it meant. The way the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was written shows us one thing. They understood that God does not claim his people are exempt from undesirable events and challenges that may happen at any time. May I repeat that? They understood that God does not claim his people are exempt from undesirable events and challenges that may happen at any time. They knew very well that they are the people of God. These three friends, they knew that they are the people of God. They saw themselves, they are a people of God in Jerusalem. Yet despite that, they saw themselves captive in Babylon. They understood that God was not obligated to save His people from all dangers all the time. I repeat, they understood that God was not obligated to save His people from all dangers at all times. Now, one question we need to ask, if God allows His people to suffer and die for the purpose of bringing glory to His name, how shall we look at it? How shall we look at people suffering in sickness and still acknowledge God is reigning supreme in their lives? How shall we look at it? David wrote a very reassuring word for us in Psalm 116, verse 15. Please turn with me to Psalm 1, chapter 116, verse 15. It says here in verse 15 of Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. The word precious in Hebrew is yakosh or yaukoshe. It means in English to ensnare, to trap, to captivate. So when God's saints die, His eyes are ensnared or captivated by the sight of the dying person who lived in faith and did His will in his life. If there is one thing all of us brethren desires, is in the moment of death that God will be looking at us as something precious in His sight. We have to accept the fact that we can only know so much about the times we live today. We don't know when our day is over. Only God knows when our day of death will come and how. For those who live and died in faith, God looks at that person as someone precious. Apostle Peter gave us a clear admonition on how we should live in doing the will of God. Please turn with me to 1 Peter 4, verse 19. For those who may be suffering or in trials, on deep trials, verse 19 of 1 Peter 4 says, therefore, those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good, as to a faithful Creator. We are still to do good and right, regardless of whether we are to face the consequences of following God. The three friends of Daniel understood that God is not obligated to save His people from all dangers at all time. But what is important is our submission to God's will, no matter what it means. Jesus Christ reflects all the lessons we learn in Daniel 3. Let us look at the account of His last night on earth while He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Please turn with me to Matthew 26, verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Verse 37, and He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Then in verse 39 He said, and then He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. The first thing Jesus called here was his Father. His faith in God is foremost. Secondly, Jesus' submission to God's will is prime importance, as we shall see. In verse 40, he said, "Then he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation.' Then Jesus said, 'The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" For verse 42, again, "The second time he went away, prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.'" Jesus realized that he had to undergo torture and death to accomplish the will of his Father. Jesus saw and felt the painful punishment that was prepared for him. "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, but if not," in essence he said that, "but if not, not as I will, but as you will." The third lesson, and the last lesson we can learn about this message, is never turn our back on God. Never turn our back on God. If he does not intervene in the way we expect. The Bible shows that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not turn their back on God when pressured by King Nebuchadnezzar to bow to his golden image. They could have done it, but they did not. Question is, how many people have turned their back on God because their prayers have not been answered or seem unanswered, and their pots cracked? How many brethren have turned their backs on God because the answer they got is different from the one they were asking for, and their pots crack? Their pots crack. How many people turn their backs on God because it seems he does not intervene when people face dangers and uncertainties in life? Once again, their pots crack. Those are serious things we need to think about, these times of trials that may come upon us, even to this nation. Let us remember what Hebrews 10 verse 38 tells us. Hebrews 10 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Very strong words. Can we now see what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did and the choices they made that teach us to have faith in God, submission to the will of God, and never turn our back on God? Tomorrow, after sunset, is our Passover, and we will celebrate one of the most momentous events in history. It is a time when our Savior Jesus Christ gave his life for all of us to pave the way for the forgiveness of sins so we may live. The words, "but if not," and the lessons it teaches tells us to have an unwavering faith and submission to God's will. It should echo to the deepest recesses of our being. It is a manifestation of a will that is strong and unwavering. And this is the mindset that we all should have when we partake the Passover tomorrow at sunset. That in faith in God and Jesus, our sustainer and deliverer, we should be unwavering. Passover reinforces our commitment to follow God and renew our commitment to Him as first in our lives. Those three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, gave us three simple words and how they were used. But if not, those words meant firmness and resolve to follow God no matter where it led. A mindset we should always have as we partake the Passover and throughout our lives. Have a blessed Passover, brethren, and days of the unleavened bread.